We're going to read from Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read from verse 15 through to verse 35. For those of you that were here last Sunday night and this morning, you'll know that we've looked at the two bits around it. The first 14 verses, to me, are clearly speaking of the destruction of the temple. Yes, they may be a foreshadowing of other things to come as well. The last 15 or so verses that we looked at this morning, again, to me, are clearly looking at days ahead, the return of Christ our Saviour. Verse 15 through to 35 seem to be dealing with those themes, but the distinction between the two areas is slightly harder to discern. Remember, Jesus was answering that question that the disciples answered, where they said, "Tell us, when will these things be?" Destruction of the temple. "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Thinking that those three things were happening at once, whereas they were obviously wrong. And Jesus answers all three questions in this beginning of the sermon on the Mount of Olives. So we begin our reading in verse 15, which is entitled in my Bible, "The Abomination of Desolation." So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. I'm not sure that that's a helpful line at the start of a complex passage. But anyway, sorry, it's irreverent. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. Let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he is in the inner room,' do not believe it. As the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." As I said a minute ago, the difficulty in comprehending, understanding, interpreting this passage lies in the fact that Jesus is answering those three questions all at the same time. Some bits of Matthew 24 are referring to the destruction of the temple. Some are to be the end of the world, the return of Christ. And some seem to have elements of both, a now and a not yet. We know through history that the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. We also know that before the destruction of the temple, there was at least 2 years of hardship in Jerusalem. The Roman armies had the city surrounded. It was dark days there. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." And it seems to be, from that line, he is saying that things up until that point are talking about things that the apostles faced. The difficulty with that is that verse 29 through to 31 definitely seem to be talking about things to come. And it may be that some of the things we see in this passage have come to be and also will come to be in the same way, as I said last week in 2 Samuel, where there's David has a prophesied son, which is answered in both Solomon and in Jesus. Same prophecy, a now and a not yet kind of answer. Last week, we looked at the first 14 verses, as I've said, and we saw that they were discussing events that led up to the year AD 70. Jesus preparing his disciples for the difficult days ahead. Jesus saying, the Messiah is here, but it doesn't mean that life's going to be easy. So when life gets difficult in the next 40 or so years, don't fret. God still has power. You still have a work to do, so do it. As we get to this passage about the abomination of desolation, we see similar words and a similar description in the book of Daniel in both chapter 9 and chapter 12. Jesus says in Matthew 24 and verse 15 in our reading this evening, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand." Now, we must take the holy place to be the temple. An abomination is something that causes disgust, and a desolation is something that destroys. So an abomination of desolation must be a thing that causes disgust and destroys. I would say put your hands up if you've used the words abomination and desolation in a sentence this week. I don't know how many would. But it is a something that causes disgust and destroys. An evil thing or person is going to be in the temple causing an evil disturbance. Something is about to happen that causes disturbance. Daniel, and I'm not going to go into this too much, I'm already dreading these passages on Tuesday nights. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26 says, "After the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. The people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. He shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. On the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator." And in chapter 12 and verse 11, we read, "From the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. As I said, not going to go into too much detail about that, if you followed that. Some suggest that Daniel was looking to a king, a Seleucid king, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who was a ruler of Palestine, the region around Jerusalem, for about 10 years, from 175 BC to 164 BC. And during his reign, he brought an altar to Zeus into the temple. He encouraged the sacrifice of pigs in the temple. So therefore, it seems that Daniel's prophecy has a now element to it. There was someone that appeared in the temple who caused a scene, caused a disturbance. But Jesus is repeating this as if it's something that's going to happen again. Jesus is talking about something that was going to happen after him. And this is where there are various different views on this. And the simple view, the more literal view is that Jesus was looking still ahead to the destruction of the temple. That Jesus was looking to something that was going to happen. Jesus was continuing to talk about what was going to happen in about 40 years' time, pointing to the destruction of the temple in the disciples' generation. And he was warning the disciples that when they see this abomination, when they see this desolator approaching, they need to flee. They need to leave. Now, there are other views to what the abomination of desolation is, and I will leave that to you to investigate and come and tell me what you think. But the simple view is that Jesus is still preparing his disciples for something that's about to happen. And he says in verse 16, when you see this unfolding, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. Let the one who is in his field not turn back to take his cloak. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. Why not on a Sabbath? For if they were obeying the Sabbath, they couldn't travel very far. Why not in winter? Because if you're traveling in winter, it's cold and dangerous. Jesus is telling his disciples that something bad is about to happen. Something is going to enter the temple. Something is going to desolate the area, cause an abomination. And when you see that begin to unfold, you need to flee. Now, 40 years later, as we know, the Romans marched on Jerusalem. They had it surrounded. The town was cut off. Normally, in times of war, normally when armies are advancing, the human response is to flee to the cities, for in the cities there's safety. However, Jesus tells his disciples to do the opposite, and there's a very practical reason for this. The church at that time was beginning to spread through Asia, but it was still centered around Jerusalem. That's where James and some of the others had built up the strong church in Jerusalem. But the work of the gospel needed to continue. If all those in that region huddled around into Jerusalem, then it would be very difficult for them to continue their work of going into all the world and sharing the gospel. At that time, Christianity was an illegal religion. If they flocked into Jerusalem, they would have been preparing for great persecution, great trial. So Jesus is practically telling his disciples, when you see this occurring, flee, run, hide in the mountains. Jesus is giving his disciples a heads up. When the problems start, you need to flee. And that's what happened. When the Romans came, we believe that the church based in Jerusalem fled to a town called Pella, which wasn't quite in the mountains as they were instructed, but in the foothills of the mountains, which is something that God's people have done since God began giving them instructions, half obeying it, half doing it, not quite fully carrying it out. Jesus wonderfully and practically warned his disciples to leave Jerusalem when they needed to leave, so that the gospel could continue to be spread, so that those Christians would avoid some of the persecution that the Romans would have meted out. And then we move on and we carry on through this chapter. We see in verse 21, there will begin great tribulation, such has not been from the beginning of the world until now and never will be. And that verse begins to look like it might be talking about days ahead, days of trial ahead. And that's possible, but it might also be that Jesus, as he does, is using the literary aspect of, I've Googled this word, hyperbole, to exaggerate a point, such as when Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Jesus didn't want people to physically make themselves blind, but was using an exaggerated form of speech to make a point. And it may be that he was doing that and continuing to highlight the fact that if you stay in Jerusalem in that moment, there will be great tribulation and great trial. Jesus also says that the days of persecution of the church there will be cut short. Matthew 24:22. If those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. For the sake of the elect, those days would be cut short. Those days of trial will be shortened. Or Jesus seems to be saying if they continued, if that persecution of Jerusalem continued, then the spread of the church would struggle. And in those difficult days, there will be people arising with false news. Again, we looked at this last Sunday night a bit, but in verse 23 we read, "If anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. False Christs and prophets will arise," and so on, to lead astray. Now, in days of desperation, in the early fledgling church, if they were in such trial and they'd had to leave their homes at the drop of a hat, that had to leave clothes, coats, possessions behind, nursing mothers that had to flee with their babies, they would probably desperately look for the return of Christ, the imminent return of Christ. But Jesus is saying, be careful, just because the days are difficult doesn't mean I'm about to appear. So if someone says to you, the Christ is in a field, don't believe them. If someone says, look, he's in the inner rooms, the cupboard round the corner, don't believe them. In desperation, in such difficulty, the early church may have looked for the Saviour again. But the point Jesus makes is when bad times come, and this can be whether in regard to the days before the destruction of the temple or the days now, when bad days come, persevere. Don't believe in false messiahs. Don't be hoodwinked by them. Why not? Well, firstly, no one knows when he's going to appear, as we said this morning. But secondly, when he does, we will all know. When the Messiah returns, we will know about it. So don't be conned by false messiahs. Don't be conned by those who say they are the Messiah. Jesus illustrates that point in verse 27. As the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, you can go from north to south, that's a finite distance. East to west is an infinite distance. If you started at the east and travelled west, you just keep going around in circles. If there's lightning that started in the east and was going west, it would just carry on. As lightning that comes from the east and shines as far as the west, as lightning that crossed, spanned the whole globe, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. You will not be able to miss it, no matter where you are. I've heard horrific ideas that the Son of Man can't come until there's televisions all around the world, because that's how people will know that Jesus is here, because they'll all see it on the television. Obviously not true. Well, I assume obviously not true. Jesus doesn't need television. As far as the east is from the west, lightning flashing around it, wherever we are in the world, we will know when Christ comes. Just like the fact that a vulture never misses a corpse. Not the most beautiful of illustrations that one could use. Vultures will never miss a corpse. We cannot miss lightning when it flashes across the sky. We will not miss the return of the Son of Man. We will not miss the return of our King, no matter how difficult days are. Don't be hoodwinked by those that claim to be the Messiah. No matter how difficult days are, remember, he will return. He is coming back, and he will take us to be with him. We have a glorious future ahead of us. Jesus then goes on to use some more poetic language, and there's a few different explanations for what verse 29 through to 31 may be. But if we read them, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, the stars will fall from heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, there is an argument that Jesus is using very similar words to that of the prophets when they're talking about the destruction of various cities. In Isaiah 13, we read of the judgment of Babylon. And in verse 9 to 10, we read, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation, to destroy its sinners from it. The stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising. The moon will not shed its light." those words about stars and moon and such like, descriptive poetic language for the destruction to be wrought upon Babylon. Some may argue that these words here are being used as a description of the mood, the atmosphere, as the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed. But I think Jesus is now bringing his teaching on to the end of the world, where he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, the earth is going to end. Dark days are ahead, and then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power. And I think Jesus is possibly using poetic language to describe the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and pointing ahead to the fact that when he returns, we will all know it will be a devastating affair. Those who are not on the Lord's side will be left dismayed in despair as the world comes crumbling and crashing down as darkness spreads. We will all know when the Lord comes. And when he does, he will gather his people from all over the world, no matter where we are. He will gather his people together. And that's a great hope. Jesus seemed to be laying out very practical advice to his disciples. Jesus gives us practical help. Be confident in him, even when the days are difficult, even when life is hard, even if we feel like we're in entire despair. Don't look to false messiahs. Beware of false prophets. Remember, when Christ comes, we will all know. And he will take us home to be with him. The life of the apostles, the life of the disciples was not always easy. They walked dangerous roads. Most of them lost their lives in the pursuit of the spread of the gospel. For us, life is not always easy as Christians. Life is not always easy as those who follow him. But be encouraged by the fact that he will return, that he will return in might and power and great glory, and that he will gather his people together to live with him for all eternity. When days are difficult, when it feels like everything is clouding upon us, we can look ahead to the true and certain fact that Christ is surely coming and that he will take his people home. There's not too much application out of this evening other than encouragement to know that the best is yet to come. Yes, we may face difficulty first, as the disciples faced, but better things are to come. So we can look ahead, as Jesus encourages his disciples to do, as he begins to talk about a fig tree. And he says in verse 32, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that the summer is near. When you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not." Now, Jesus may be using that as a summary, and the he there may refer to the abomination of desolation. And they know that when the difficulties are arising in 40 odd years, that this character is entering the temple and causing great destruction, as we know happened in AD 70, as I've mentioned. But I take he is near to represent the Son of Man who has just been talked about. And we know that when difficulties are ahead, when dark days are around, the Son of Man is preparing to come. The Lord Jesus Christ is preparing to come to this place to rescue his people. Don't let troubles put you off. Don't let dark days cause despair. Christ is surely coming. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not. Today we went to a concert, and a group of children sang in a choir a song all about the environment and how We should try and make this world last forever. And there's every part of you that knows you can't do this, but wants to get up and say, sadly, no matter what we do, this world will not last forever. Yes, we should look after it. I'm not making environmental comments here. But no matter how many bottles we recycle, the world will not last forever. This world will pass away. But the words of our Lord Jesus Christ will endure forever. The hope that comes from him will never, ever fade. We can trust in our King. And that brings to an end my studies in Matthew chapter 24. As I say, I am very open to other opinions, to disagreement. Please do speak to me at the end, and we can talk about it. But be encouraged. Dark days are difficult, but Christ is coming.